This is IBN, the Islamic Broadcasting Network. The following program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
God is the light, God is the light. How great the wonder of the heavens and the timeless beauty of the night. How great, then how great the Creator. And its stars like priceless jewels, far beyond the reach of kings. Bow down for the shepherd guiding him home.
This is From Darkness to Light.
But how many eyes are closed to the wonder of this night?
With your host, Haroun Chambel.
Like pearls hidden deep beneath the dark stream of desires, but like dreams vanished with the call to prayer, and the dawn extinguishes night. Here too are signs. God is the light, God is the light.
Welcome to another episode of From Darkness to Light. This is your host, Haroun Chambel of the Islamic Broadcasting Network. Today we have with us Brother Abdullah, who is a person who has been raised in a Muslim family. And we do this from time to time where we will interview a person who has been raised as a Muslim, who has always, you know, claimed that they're a Muslim and, you know, had the belief of Islam their whole life. But we also want to do shows like this because we believe that every person has to find a way in their life towards Islam. And so without any further ado, we would like to introduce Brother Abdullah by saying Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
We'd like to begin, Abdullah, by asking you, I guess, the question that people are wondering is, why is it that you chose Islam?
Well, the main thing about Islam, I mean, it's the peace that it brings you. I mean, I've never felt peace and tranquility like any other place, and with having Islam. And the way that the concept of God also in Islam is very strong and very powerful, because it gives you a one-to-one relationship, and you, God can become like your best friend. And it has that connection that it doesn't matter where you're at or where you are, and you could worship Allah at any time as well. And that open space really brings you, and that's one of the biggest reasons really that I felt very strong in Islam. I mean, even though I was born and raised as a Muslim, but you still cannot understand, because a lot of it is you start getting into a habit of doing it because everybody else around you is doing it, but you're not necessarily understanding why everything that you're doing. But as you get older, you begin to realize more and more of the peace and the tranquility that it brings you, and it gives you a stronger understanding of why you're doing everything and the need for it. Especially when you go through a lot of trials and tribulations in life, you begin to realize the importance of it, and you realize how it helps.
Right. So how was it that you came to this conclusion? I mean, as we had said before, that you were, you know, brought up in a Muslim family, and so, you know, your parents, I'm sure, you know, raised you to be Muslim and what have you, but how was it that you came to the conclusion in your heart that Islam was the correct way and the true faith?
I think experiencing life, you begin to realize it. I think when you live in a society like America and you have a whole big wave against what you're doing, and from that you begin to realize the importance of what you have, because you see the life that a lot of other people that are living, and then you may get a time where you live like them as well, and then you realize the emptiness that it has, and then you realize the fulfillment of the things you have. I mean, there's a couple of things that made me realize it. I remember the events of 9/11 was one of them. It started making me think about a lot more than what I usually thought of. I mean, other places I've traveled around the world, I mean, it opens up your eyes, but I think that event in particular was one of the defining moments that has started. I started to realize that there's going to be a turning point in the life that we have, whether we like it or not. From seeing that, I realized it, and that's when the wheels started to turn more and more. But then, the biggest effect that I really had was going to Hajj and reading Malcolm X's book before going actually over there, and then just experiencing Hajj on a whole different level, seeing a lot of American Muslims that were born, raised Christians, and having that type of background, and then seeing them have the whole love for Islam, and all these people from all different places of the world, and the amount of love that they had for Islam was something that was kind of almost shocking to me. I almost felt like I had a treasure and I didn't even know it. And just to see the light in people's and how they spoke so passionately about it, I was like, something must be wrong with me for not seeing what they see. So from that, I realized, you know, there's obviously something really great here that I'm not paying much attention to, or I'm not giving it as much attention as I should.
Right.
And from seeing and talking to a lot of beautiful brothers and just all types of people, really, that was a very, very defining moment. I think Hajj was definitely a huge, huge step, because it really opened up my eyes to seeing the light of Islam through other people. You know, you could see the love and the peace that they have, just seeing it on their face and the way they speak about it. And then, you know, listening to their backgrounds, you listen to a lot of their backgrounds, and a lot of it is like you. Maybe the fact that you were Muslim, it's almost like you weren't Muslim because of what they were going through and what you felt like you were going through it. And just listening to them and learning from them, that was a huge, huge step. And it made me realize the responsibility that I have in my hands as well. I mean, when you're blessed to see the light and to be blessed with something, you feel like you have to share this peace with everyone else. Because it's a peace of mind that every person in this world is hungry for. And the problem is, it's like they're hungry for this, but they don't even realize what they're hungry for. And they keep attaching themselves to so many different things in life, whether material or physical, and not realizing that it's something internal that they're all seeking, but they keep going after something, and it's like a mirage.
Right.
You know, you're going, you saw something, and then you realize when you get there, it's nothing, and that's what everybody's hung for. And then just from seeing those experiences, really, that was one of the best and the most defining moments, I think, in my life that brought me definitely closer to Islam.
How did the autobiography of Malcolm X affect you?
Well, seeing somebody that went through so much in life, I mean, if it's one person who's been tested, it's definitely him. I mean, this guy went through so much in life, and I mean, he lived a life to a point that he was in such darkness that even I remember reading in prison, people used to call him Satan. I mean, you can't get worse than somebody, people calling you Satan. So, I mean, imagine how dark this person has been and how in denial about everything he was. But yet, the most amazing thing, in even amongst all that, his heart was seeking something that he might have even not known. Even in the Quran, it mentions about how even a rock that it can break and water can come out of from it. It means it can be affected. I mean, that's how his heart was. His heart was like a rock. And just reading how his background and what he'd been through, and then and just coming to the realization about Islam, and even when he was at his prime and he was a leader in the community, when he became Muslim with the Nation of Islam, I mean, even to go against that, you realize that this person was truly seeking the truth, and even if it was against himself, you know, I mean, he was living definitely by the principles of Islam in all factors. And just from seeing that, you realize, like, wow, I mean, what an extraordinary man. I mean, he should definitely be held more, highly in our society, in our community, because this is truly a person who is truly seeking the truth. I mean, a lot of the stuff, even the way he felt about Elijah Muhammad, was interesting, because when you read about it, you see that he even lived a life where he was like the companions. I mean, he thought Elijah Muhammad was an actual prophet. I mean, just like when the companions were around the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was very, very similar. So, I mean, this was truly a person that was like the companions in our time. And it really opened up my eyes. I mean, you saw he was human. And all human beings, no matter what their background, no matter what they've done, they can change their life and be better human beings. No matter, and that's the beautiful thing about Islam, and that no matter what you've done in the past, no matter what you've been through, that yani, you can completely change your life and get a new start.
Anyway.
And that was one of the biggest things that was really that opened up my eyes about him, and just I think the main thing really is the fact that he was so after the truth that even if it was against him and against everybody that was around him, it did not matter. It was truly just the idea for pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that was his main thing, is just to please God,
right,
no matter what. And that was one of the biggest things. And then even his experience in going to Hajj, you know, that was huge, because a lot of the stuff that I read before going was something that I experienced myself, you know, that just seeing so many different people together, the peace, the oneness. I mean, that was a huge factor. And
we're going to have to take a break for a second, all right? I'm going to have to ask you to hold on to that thought for just a second. We have to step away for a few brief messages from our sponsors. You're listening to From Darkness to Light of the Islamic Broadcasting Network.
We choose to go to the moon and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
We all face unique challenges in life. And through struggle, we progress. But what makes the difference between those who succeed and those who fail? It is a clear conviction in the higher ideals and purpose of life. Have faith. It works miracles.
This message is brought to you by your American Muslim neighbors and the Islamic Media Foundation.
How great the beauty of the earth and the creatures who dwell on her. How great, then how great, the Creator.
Welcome back. You're listening From Darkness to Light at the Islamic Broadcasting Network. We've been here with Brother Abdullah, and he's been talking to us in the first segment of our show about the enlightenment of Islam and how it's affected his heart. We would like to continue where we left off from the last segment, Abdullah. I just wanted to make a couple of points briefly about Malcolm,
yeah,
along with some with the things that you had expressed. For me, a lot of the thing that really amazed me about Malcolm is the fact that as a young child, he was an extremely gifted and talented and intelligent human being,
yeah,
and just simply because of, you know, the problems in our society here in dealing with race and color, that he was basically dumbed down by the majority, and he was told that he would never be able to amount to anything, and his family was, you know, broken apart, and he was raised by foster parents, and he dealt with a lot of oppression in a modern day sense of oppression, and through that, his struggle, he wasn't a person that was like innately evil, but he was a person,
yeah,
that adjusted to his environment, and he felt,
yeah,
hatred and animosity towards people because of the way that they rejected him. And when he came to Islam and he evolved and things like this, until the point where he actually went to the Hajj and he came to understand what Orthodox Islam was about, he arrived at a point where he realized, okay, this is peace. This is,
yeah,
this is truth. This is what it's about. And he found there people that were all different colors, people from all over the world, people that spoke different languages, that had different social class status, everything, and they were all just there praying together. They were worshiping,
yeah,
together. They were there eating together and you know, sleeping and all of these things. And it was like one heart beating, but it was like thousands and thousands of people all doing that. And it was something for him, similarly like what I'm sure, inshallah, the way that you express it in your own words, and even the way that I have experienced it in the Hajj, that we saw the same thing, the amount of people and the that are, you know, praying and that are believing in the same Creator. It's a very powerful thing, and I think that was something that very much affected him, and the reality of that, you know, shaped and molded him. And it would have,
yeah,
been a very interesting and I think profound thing if we had been able to see him, you know, to grow old and continue growing beyond,
yeah,
what he actually did. But he still left a lot. He left a legacy for people. Anyway, let me get off my soapbox. To get back to your story, and let's shift now, going from Malcolm into talking about the actual Hajj. To you, what does the Hajj, the essence of Hajj mean, and the way that it affects a heart and its overall, I guess, theme and how it's supposed to affect the heart of a human being.
See, Hajj, I think a lot of people misunderstand by saying, you know, let me live my life and then I'll go when I'm old. But it's not like that. I think Hajj, what it does is you have to go at an early age. Because what it is, it's Allah giving you another chance at life. You're coming back as the day you were born. What better chance and opportunity do you have than that? And I think, you know, Allah, it's as if Allah giving you life is to live for a little bit, to experience it, so you know better. So now you get another chance. So you can do so much more with the other chance that you have. And I think, you know, sometimes a lot of people get an idea, especially in the Arab culture, like, you know, I'll go when I'm, you know, 60 or 70 or before I die and let me just live my life. And I think that's a great misunderstanding. I think Hajj is something that should be done at a very early age because it really opens up your eyes to realizing the importance of this religion that you have, this way of life. And it really opens up your eyes to realizing also how little you are. Sometimes you live in your own world and you got a lot and you got maybe a big company or this or that, or you feel like you're the center of the world, but then you go over there, you realize you're very little and you're so insignificant. But the most amazing thing above all that is for God to answer your prayer. That means out of all the billions of people in the world, for Him to pay attention to you, that means you have something to offer, that you are blessed, and how great God is. Because amongst all those people, you realize, like, wow, you know, everybody's asking. And then, you know, I mean, imagine some king who's living on a hill and you have all these people constantly asking him for something. I mean, he won't be able to fulfill it, even though if he has all the riches of the world. It's very hard because that's a lot of people to take care of. But then you realize how God is amazing, because for every single person that's there, they experience something wonderful. Mm. And who can do that but God? Mm. And just seeing that, you realize that the greatness of God and the fact that everybody is standing and just it's like entering to the world of spirits when you go to Hajj, because it has nothing to do with your physical appearance. It has nothing to do with the way you look, and it's totally something symbolic, because you're dressed like everybody else, so it already puts you in an equal level like everybody else.
Mm.
And then, and everybody is why they're not out there to go to a concert to listen to some big singer or some big party somewhere or anything like that. They're not out there for any of that stuff. They're simply out there to worship God. So the intention of people is pretty much similar for everybody, and they don't need any intoxicants to make them feel good so they can accept everybody around them. No, they're simply there because they want to improve themselves. They want to be better human beings and to open up their hearts. And just entering that and seeing the love and compassion among people being there and sharing their food or sleeping in the same place and being kind and generous and smiling. I mean, nobody can and nothing in this world can put this peace and love and mercy except for God.
Mm.
And you see that. I mean, you see the love amongst people, and you know, you realize, like, wow, you know, this person's not, you know, on some kind of drug, or he's not, you know, drunk to be talking or acceptant of who I am, or not because we like the same singer or whatever it is, but no, this is simply just for God. And the most amazing thing is that none of us can really see God, but we can feel Him through everybody, you know, and the way that everybody's hearts feel. And that was really moving, you know, because you're so little, and then here you're affected so greatly with something beyond any measure you can't even measure it with anything.
There you are. Okay, we're going to have to take another break. We'll be back. You're listening to From Darkness to Light of the Islamic Broadcasting Network.
Yaqub al-Kindi, also known as Al-Kindus, was born in Kufa, Iraq, at around the year 800. Al-Kindi was a philosopher, mathematician, physicist, astronomer, physician, and a geographer. In mathematics also, he wrote 4 books on the number system and partially created the pillars of modern arithmetic. In chemistry, he opposed alchemists by stating that base metals cannot be made into precious metals. In medicine, he was the first to systematically determine the doses of drugs to be administered to patients at one time.
He lived to write 241 books in his life, 16 on astronomy, 22 on medicine, 32 on geometry, and more. Many of his books were translated into Latin. He died at 73 years old. This has been A Minute of Muslim Civilization from IBN.
As its mountains pierce the clouds, high above the lives of men, weeping rivers for thousands of years.
Welcome back. You're listening to From Darkness to Light of the Islamic Broadcasting Network. We've been here with Brother Abdullah in our first two segments. He's been talking to us about his enlightenment and growth in Islam. Abdullah, I'd like to kind of go into something here, and it's kind of along the lines of what you're talking about with Hajj, but something that I'm sure that some of our viewers, our listeners, are thinking and wanting to ask themselves is that as Muslims, just like every other religion, we say that we believe in a creator or some sort of deity, or for some people that are polytheists, deities in the plural, or this, that, or the other. So for us, though, for people, what is it that you believe in your own heart that convinces you that this is right? You know, I mean, why, for example, why not Buddhism, or why not Hinduism, or why not Christianity or Judaism or this or that? What is it that has affected you from the foundation of what Islam is that has put it in your heart where you believe this is the right way?
I think a lot of it is prayer. I think prayer, that a lot of people maybe might not realize the importance of it, but I think the connection of prayer, because it's connecting the mind, body, and soul to be one. And the amount of times that you do it during the day, I mean, if you look at it, even the times that you do it, it spreads out through the day. So it's almost as if it's a protection for you for the whole day. I mean, doing these types of rituals that Islam gives you and blesses you with really saves you from a lot, because anybody living in a society like America or anywhere else, I mean, realizes the importance of it by the difficulties and the wave that's so coming up against you that you need to help yourself with. I mean, you know, a lot of you might need to say, hey, I need to work out and make my body stronger, and you go to the gym a lot and this and that, but then your soul, you neglect your soul, and when you neglect your soul, you realize the effects that it may have on you. And the salah is definitely one huge factor in the way believing in Allah. And then another factor is also the look around you in terms of everything that's being created. You know,
right?
Sometimes you look at something and you're like amazed at a car or a building or things like that, and something must have made it. So, I mean, there's something, whether you call him Allah, whether you call him God, whether you call him whatever it is, but there is a higher being that definitely needs our attention and our respect.
Right.
Not that he needs it, but we need it in our life.
Right.
And you realize the importance of it by doing so.
Now, without wanting to, I guess, ruffle some people's feathers, but just in wanting to, I guess, sincerely trying to go a little bit deeper into this, that when you get away from the wordplay, for example, of, you know, whether we call, you know, God or Allah or this or that, the actual practicality of how these various religions or ways of life, which is, I like to use that better than just religion, but ways of life,
yeah,
that the way that they actually believe, you know, it's they vary. Like, for example, you have religions or ways of life where they say they're monotheistic, but in reality they're not. They worship, you know, they worship other, you know, gods or deities along with the one creator. Other ones, they are just outright, you know, polytheist. Why is it for you that you believe that this religion of monotheism of Islam is the correct monotheism versus, say, for example, that of another religion that claims the monotheism or might be doing other things in practicality that contradict that belief?
I think the people have to realize, I mean, if you are studying Islam, look at how it looks at God, the relationship, the characteristics, the attributes, I mean, all these things. I mean, when you correlate it and trying to understand what God is, it makes sense, because other people, you know, like Buddhist or anything like that, it goes back to another human being. You know, the Christianity, you know, having God to be, having a son and things like that, it puts attributes as a human being. So, I mean, anything when you're studying Islam, it gives God justice in the sense of the oneness, the true oneness. I mean, for him not needing anything from us, and in fact that we need more than anything.
Right.
I mean, if you put any human attributes to a creator, that means you limit him to being the way like he is to us.
Right.
You know, and that way it limits, because then it becomes, well, I'm a human being and I have limited, you know, characteristics. That means if God is somewhat like me, that means he's not perfect. That means he's missing something. That means he needs something. But see, the amazing thing with Islam, it clearly makes us understand that God doesn't need anything. And if we do any good, you know, it does not, or bad, it doesn't change his domain. I mean, he's complete.
Mm.
And understanding the oneness of God through Islam, I think before you go into understanding the jurisprudence or anything like that, just concentrate on the concept of God and
right.
the importance of it
right.
and the way you worship God.
Right.
And I think that will open up your eyes and make you realize like the greatness of this this way of life.
Right.
Because you're giving justice to the Creator. And opposed to other religions, not to say put down any other religion or way of life, but I say just compare the idea of the of God together, and it will definitely open up your eyes. And seeking the truth, ask your heart to seek the truth, you know, without any prejudice where it may lead you, and you will see it will lead you to the Creator. Personally, I mean, I know I was born and raised a Muslim, but going through and speaking with a lot of people from different backgrounds, different, you know, religions and things like that, you realize the heaviness of the faith that you have and the strong treasure that you have all along, because you see that everybody's speaking about it. There's still something missing. But for some reason, when you reach Islam, it's complete. It's everything. It's everything your heart desires. It's everything your heart wants. And it becomes natural in your heart to accept it and to open your heart to it.
Alhamdulillah. All right, brother. Well, we've unfortunately run out of time. But we thank you for coming and spending this time with us and sharing with us your
thank
thoughts
you.
And reflections.
Thank
on
you very
Islam.
Much.
Alhamdulillah. Hopefully, inshallah, we'll be able to get you on again so we can continue.
Inshallah.
Pull some more fruits from your trees, huh?
Inshallah.
Anyway,
thank you very much.
Alhamdulillah. We would like to say to all of our viewers to always keep in mind that God's mercy is vast, and that the purpose of our creation is a thing which is very important for us as human beings to know, both individually and collectively. So we can never give up on God and His mercy. So always search, always look, always reflect, always make prayer and ask God for guidance. With that, we thank you all for listening to From Darkness to Light. And we hope that inshallah, God willing, you will join us for another episode of our show, From Darkness to Light. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
God is the light everlasting. God is the light everlasting. God is the light everlasting. God is the light everlasting.
This program has been sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.